The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the virtual radio row for the Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like, send a message. Aaron will read it if he likes it. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, which we got to 711 today for happy hour, which is a new personal best. We'll keep beating. We'll beat that down the road.
I think eventually, if David Gow would come in and do a mega shot.
I think if we could get David Gow in here.
That gets us to 800.
I think that gets us to 1,000. I think if we had David Gow, Trey, and Holly, we'd get to 1,000.
I don't know if you had heard during the break or a couple breaks ago, Courtney wants to join in on happy hour one of these Fridays. So we need to find a way to get her in here.
Well, that's a plan. Courtney's more fun than Holly, too. Courtney came in here in a bikini before.
Yep.
Yeah.
I bet she'd do happy hour in bra and panties.
She's married now.
I don't know.
Her husband doesn't got to know about it.
Well, 1,000 people on the Twitch will know about
They're
it.
They're not going to tell him, trust me. All right. Fred, we've got to do a real radio show now.
Yeah, do we really have to?
Because we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Trey's, thanks to Uncle David again for the moonshine.
We're
all moonshined up.
Yeah. And to Trey's mom for being a good sport.
Yes. It is a football Friday, after all, which is our favorite day of the week. And listen, I don't want to bring negativity yet to the Texans. We can save that for Monday, right? Let's start with this. What do the Texans have to do to win?
Well, I think they're going to have to be able to run the football. They're going to have to be able to not go three and out. And, I mean, they got to keep the Steelers' offense off the field because their defense, I think their defense can hang in there as long as they don't have to play as many snaps as they did last week. And that's going to be the hard part because Steelers' defense is pretty damn good. So we need to see elite Deshaun, which we've seen once in the last 10 games. That's all I'm saying about him today. We need to see them run the football effectively with David Johnson. And if they do that, I think they have a chance to win.
I'll say this, and so far it's been very difficult to run on the Steelers. It's been tough. The problem is the Steelers have not only been a really good run defense, they've been getting after their quarterback nonstop. They've been leading in pressures and sack. Like they're dominating. So their front has just been dominant, whether you're running or passing. I think Deshaun is going to have to be super fast with the ball. I'm talking, you got 3 seconds. Find somebody, get it out. They're going to have to beat him with quick passes, quick short routes. I think Brandon Cooks is going to have to do some good work. I think that Jordan Akins is going to have to. They may have to go into some two tight end sets to give Deshaun a little bit more time. I don't think it's impossible, but given how they've played, it doesn't inspire much. I will say this though: on the other side of the ball, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't give me a whole bunch of positive vibes right now. I don't feel like this is a vintage Ben Roethlisberger we're seeing.
Well, let me give you a little hope on this if you're a Texans fan. Keep in mind, the Texans have played the two best teams in the AFC. The Steelers have given up 16 points to the Giants and 21 points to a Broncos team with a backup quarterback. So, yeah, their defenses look terrific, but look what it's been terrific against. So, to me, Texans offense ought to be better than the Giants and the Broncos. So, if you're looking for some positives, I'll give you that.
Okay.
I mean, it's about all I got, but I'm trying to give you some positives here.
Okay, well, I mean,
That's fair, right?
Are you on the -4 or are you on +4?
I am on the plus four, believe it or not. I am on Texans plus four. I actually, and we'll go through all the games. We'll start next segment. But that's one where, I'm not betting it big. But, I mean, I actually saw RJ tweet something out that kind of backs it up. It's like 62% teams that start 0-2 are in week three they cover, which is, you know, so far, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dolphins fit that last night. But and since I asked if they go on 0-6, would that be enough to get O'Brien fired? O'Brien's not getting fired. If he gets fired, it'll be a 3-13 disaster at the end of the season. He ain't getting fired at 0-6.
And I don't think he'd get fired at the end of the season. I think he'd get fired. He would have to start next season awful as well.
I think, I just don't think that's even worth discussing right now because
I don't either. We're two games into the season. We got plenty. There's plenty of heat on him right now as it is.
And are you going to be shocked if they come out and win?
I would not be shocked.
No, because, you know, that's what they do, right? When you write his ass off.
Here's the question, though. Let's say somehow the Steelers do win. I know that goes against what you believe will happen.
No, I just believe the Texans will cover. I didn't say anything about that. I'm not predicting a Texans win. I just said I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Let's say that they do win, or let's say that the Steelers do win. And on Monday, what are we talking about? Are we talking about, well, they've now played three elite AFC teams? Or
I don't consider the Steelers elite. I consider the Steelers on the level with the Texans. That second-tier contender.
But the Steelers would then be 3-0.
Yeah, they played two garbage teams too.
Okay,
there's 3-0s where if the Steelers win this will be their best win by far.
Yes,
over an 0-2 team.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I
don't know if it's by far. Are the Texans way better than the Broncos?
I think so, especially with Jeff Driscoll at quarterback. Not that I'm a big Drew Locke fan, but
Point differential for the Broncos in their 0-2 is -7. For the Texans, it's -31.
And have they played? That's why you can't use point differential right now. I mean, they played the Chargers, who can't score, and they played the Steelers.
The Broncos have played the Titans and the Steelers.
I'm sorry, the Titans and the Steelers, yeah. Titans aren't any good. They were
a playoff team last year.
Yeah, they were all, I mean, they're in that group of extra, of same thing as the Texans, the Colts, the Steelers, all those guys, they're also Rams.
You know what I'll tell you about the Broncos? 2-0 against the spread.
Well, okay, but that's not what we're talking about here. You know, talk about the spread, that's different. That's great. I'm all about that. But, yeah, I mean, that's the problem, though. And I think that's one reason why I was on the Dolphins last night. Dolphins played the Patriots week one. We didn't know what the Patriots were going to be. Turns out with Cam Newton, they're pretty good. They played the Bills week two and played them pretty damn well. The Jags played the crap in their division that's 8-8, 9-7, Titan, Colts, and they beat one and they damn near beat the other. And to me, this is an old horse racing thing. This is class of horse you're racing against. Dolphins raced better horses and hung in there. So, that's why I don't feel great about this game from a Texans standpoint, because I just know that they're not in the same league as the two teams they played. But how would the Steelers have done in those two games?
I don't know.
See, and that's what makes it hard, because it would be easy for me to say, oh, well, Texans suck. They're 0-2. Blah, blah, blah. Look, Steelers 2-0. But that's not the story. If the Texans had played the Giants and the Broncos, they're probably 2-0. 1-1 at worst. But, you know, we'll find out. See, and that's why I think this is a better test for where the Texans are, is, you know, this is a team they should be on the level with. And if they're not on the level here, now we're talking about them being even a step further down. And I think then you're getting into the 6-10, 7-9 type range.
You think they're now in the 7-9 to 9-7 range?
Yeah. Well, I think they're what they were last year. They're 7 at the floor, 10 at the ceiling.
Okay.
But I don't, you know, it's hard to judge.
So you're weighting their competition a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I always do that. I do that in handicapping. I do that in everything. Quality of competition means something. Matchups mean something. And they did not match up well. And that's the thing. I actually thought defensively, they played pretty well against Baltimore, considering how poorly they matched up with them up until the fourth quarter when they were worn out. And you know, the offense is the problem. And I don't see what the solution there is other than because it's all the same stuff that I always bitch about. It's bad play calling. It's play designs that make no sense. It's, you know, Deshaun either not checking out of bad plays or allowed to check out of bad plays.
You can say they don't match up well, but remember, they beat that Chiefs team last year.
Yeah, they beat the Chiefs
team. At Kansas City.
They beat that Chiefs team when Pat Mahomes was hobbled after an injury and threw his first interception of the season, as a matter of fact. They beat that team because they were able to run the football. And if you go back and look, and again, this is, you know, I mean, this is all on paper, but if you go back and look at the Chiefs defense about halfway through the season when they finally figured out what Spagnuolo wanted, they were a different defense. You could run against the first eight games, you could run the ball against them easy. Colts did it. Texans did it. And guess what? They fixed it. They solved it. And they went on and won a Super Bowl. Even the 49ers couldn't run the ball that well against them. So, I mean, their defense was night and day from when the Texans played them. Not to take anything away from going in and beating them in that stadium. But if Mahomes is healthy, even with that, I don't know that the Texans would have beat them. So, but I'm talking about the matchup with the I think we saw in the playoffs how the Texans match up with the Chiefs. And the Ravens are a horrible matchup for them because their defensive line is, I mean, that defensively, their cornerbacks are better than the Texans receivers, and it's not close. So they can shut those guys down. And they were able to use the linebackers to stop the run because they knew those guys couldn't get open against them. That's a bad offensive matchup for them. And defensively, the Texans, no way they can stop all the weapons that they have. I mean, it just, you know, that one to me was a worse matchup than the Chiefs. And so much of it week one, I'm going to throw out a little bit because that game looked just like the last time we saw them. But last week is the game where I thought they should have come out and, okay, show me better about what you're going to be, Texans, than you did against the Chiefs. They didn't really show me anything. So I still don't know. But, I mean, they're not on that level. For them to get on the Ravens level, Lamar Jackson has to blow a knee. For them to get on the Chiefs level, Patrick Mahomes has to blow a knee. And even then, I don't know. But I just think, though, that for me, so much of what I look at is quality of competition matchups. And you do that, too.
I do.
Yeah, so.
But I also don't know that, even playing against better teams, they haven't been competitive, which concerns me.
Well, and that's the thing. I thought they played better last week and weren't competitive, and that is a concern. But I don't know who's going to be competitive against these teams. The Browns certainly weren't week one against the Ravens. Chargers played the Chiefs pretty well, but then historically the Chargers always kind of play the Chiefs pretty well. And if you also look at it, that I'm sure there was zero preparation for Justin Herbert. And, you know, but not to excuse that because the Chiefs should have lost that game.
Do you still feel now that the Texans are the best team in the AFC South?
I don't know yet. I can't do it after two games. There's just no way for me to judge that because I have seen nothing out of the Colts and nothing out of the Titans that makes me say they run away and hide in this division. Okay. Especially the Titans, because the Titans are the one that I guess everybody's looking at. I think the Colts are the Texans, basically. And
I might like the Colts better than the Titans, honestly.
I don't. Not with Phillip Rivers. Unless they can run the ball effectively. I mean, that's a guy who is going to make mistakes.
That's what they did last week, and then they dominated. But
I think that's the same thing with the Titans, the same thing with the Texans, the same thing with the Colts. If they can run the football and take it off the quarterback, all those teams are going to win. If they can't, they're going to lose. And it is pretty simple. And I think the Texans are just one of those teams. But I'm not writing them off after two games. I just can't do it, especially against those two teams. If they had gone in like they did a few years ago when they beat the Chargers on the road and we both said, this team's not any good, that's one thing. But I think it's silly to dismiss the fact that they played two teams that are better probably than anybody else in the league. And were they competitive? No. Did I expect them to be competitive? That's the other thing. Expectation-wise, I expected them to get their ass kicked twice.
Yeah.
So now this week, I could see them beating the Steelers. And if they don't, you know what? Okay. And then you're going to get a team just like you the next week in the Vikings, which is another team that was supposed to be good that isn't.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about the fights coming up this weekend. And there's a pay-per-view doubleheader going on this weekend. And you may say, well, what do I have to choose between watching Jermall Charlo and Jermell Charlo and their title fights? No, you don't. You get to see both for the price of one. How about that? Doubleheader pay-per-view, stacked fight card, only $74. 99. Two stacked cards in one night. The main events, of course, Jermell and Jermall Charlo attempting to defend their titles. There's no rollovers this weekend. There's no minus 1,000 favorites like you often see in these title fights. There's actually competitive fights. Jermell Charlo takes on WBA and IBF 154-pound champ Jason Rosario to unify their division. And then, of course, Jermall, who's unbeaten, he's defending his WBC middleweight championship against Sergey Davchenko, which is going to be a fantastic fight, I think. Probably the best fight on the card. But there are six fights, five title fights on the card. You got to check it out, and here's how you do it. Order the fight now. Purchase the Charlo doubleheader within the Showtime app or order online at Showtime.com, or you can just contact your pay-per-view provider. But either way, make sure you check out the Charlo Brothers doubleheader for the price of two for the price of one, only on Showtime.
Y'all ain't involving this very depressing. I'm at the club with the basketball team. Me and the Cardinals are sharing a section. Got a cherished present. I'm drinking water and wearing protection. Got a career and I'm very invested. Some people call it a scary obsession.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live for the virtual radio row for the Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Frodo says Vikings are a lot like the Texans. Both have average QBs that lost impact receivers would be true measuring stick for this season. All due respect, I mean, as much as I bagged on Deshaun Watson this week, I ain't putting Kirk Cousins on him.
No.
He's much better than Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is...
But Kirk Cousins is a guy, also who's flashed brilliance at times. I don't think Kirk Cousins... I'm with you. I think I'd rather have Deshaun than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've never been a Kirk Cousins fan. I think he's an empty numbers guy and always has been. So, do you want to go through the other games?
We can.
Or we can wait. I don't know.
No, that's fine.
All right. Well, let's do it then. Let me need to call it up here. This is always the problem with happy hour. It's like, it's fun, and then I'm kind of like out of sorts the rest of the way, which is never good. All right. Let's start off. Las Vegas Raiders +6 at the Patriots.
Probably my favorite play of the week is on the Patriots here. There's fives and five and a halves all over the place, so don't...
I'm looking at my bookie right now, so...
Six, not an ideal number, but if I'd still like it at six, honestly. The difference between five and a half, six isn't that much to me. If it gets outside of seven now or 2-7, we're having a different conversation. But this is about Bill Belichick off of a loss... is like a 60% against the spread guy. John Gruden off a win is like a 40% against the spread guy. You're talking about the Raiders playing the Patriots on short rest, on a short week to game plan. The Patriots, what they've always done best historically, is take away your best weapon. I assume they're going to take away Darren Waller. What else do the Raiders have? They've not proven that they have anything on the outside, and... The Raiders' offensive line after last week is really beat up. I don't know if Josh Jacobs is going to really get going. So, yeah, I think the Raiders come out. They're pissed off. I think they make a statement here in this game.
You mean the Patriots?
The Patriots.
Yeah, I don't feel as strongly about it as you do, but if you put a gun to my head, I'd take the Patriots -6 here. I think the Raiders off the big win. There's a letdown there, no question. All right, Rams +1 at the Bills. And I like the Bills here, but I have a stat for you that takes me off it completely.
Okay.
Under Sean McVay, the Rams have played noon games on the East Coast 5 times. You know what their record is?
5-0,
including last week.
That's obviously a pretty small sample size.
Is it? I mean, but how often do these teams do that? And I think that's a pretty good indication that he gets his team ready. And I went back and looked. The teams they beat are pretty good for the most part. So I was on Bills. I'm not now. I mean, it's not playing it.
I'm not saying you should be on it, but I'm saying in the grand scheme of football, do we ever look at a five-game sample and say that that's like a lock-solid trend?
It's a four-year trend. I mean, how often do those teams do it? That's the thing. They probably do it twice a year at most.
That's why is it even worth talking about as a trend? It's five games.
Yeah, it is. It is worth talking about as a trend because I use this all the time in my handicapping. And automatically, I'll deduct points because a team goes to the East Coast. I can't do it here, which puts them basically at the same number as far as I'm concerned.
Also, the fact they're going back-to-back. They were on the East Coast last week, going back, and then coming back to the East Coast. On top of that, if you're telling me minus one on Buffalo, you're telling me the Rams are the better team. Who had the Rams power rated above Buffalo when this season started? I don't know anyone who did. And I'm talking, like, I don't know any serious handicappers who did.
I think some people have it now because you overreact after two games.
Because the Rams won a coin flip game against the Cowboys that they could have easily lost.
Yeah.
And they beat the hell out of the Eagles, who are garbage. Which is, I mean, the Bills
depends
have done
on
the
same what you
thing.
Think the Eagles are. I think they're garbage, too. But I'm not playing the game.
The Bills have done the same thing. They've beaten up on garbage teams. But I'm not buying this. I think there's an overreaction to the Rams. I think the Bills are the better team. I think under a field goal is honestly disrespect to the Bills.
I don't care about disrespect. Vegas doesn't care about respect.
I'm just talking about as far as the number. Yeah. I don't mean like
Vegas
personal
doesn't care
feelings.
About respect, though.
I
come
think
on.
The line is disrespectful.
I disagree, but okay.
Okay. Well, my money's on Buffalo at minus one.
Yeah, good luck. Texans Steelers, we talked about a little bit. I'll take the Texans to cover. I think it's a field goal game.
No play for me. I'd take the Steelers if I had to.
Okay. That's the exact opposite of what you just said last segment.
What did I say last segment?
You said you'd take the plus four.
No, I didn't. You said that.
No, I did. I said, yeah, you said something effective. Yeah, that's a good play. So,
okay.
Right, so your official play is you would take the Steelers.
My official play is I would take the Steelers. I'm not playing it,
just
but
clarifying.
I would take the Steelers.
Just clarifying. 49ers minus 3.5 at the Giants. I can't play this. I mean, the difference in talent is still pretty huge. All the injuries for the 49ers, though. But then you take Saquon Barkley off the Giants, although it's not like he's been that effective the first 2 weeks. I hate the hook here. If it's three, I'd probably take the 49ers.
Yeah, I get the number pushing down towards the Giants because of all the injuries. There may be an overreaction here from 6.5 down to 3.5.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And I don't think the Giants are very good anyway. I'm not looking to bet on the Niners, certainly, but while we're talking about all these injuries, the Giants' best player is out for the season. So
yeah,
it's not just on one side of the ball. It's a pass for me at this number. If it were still at 6.5, I feel like the Giants are a safe play. But once it got under four, I was totally out.
Titans minus 3 at Vikings. From what I've seen out of the Vikings, I think I like the Titans here. I'm not big on road favorites. And I don't think Tennessee's that great, but unless the Vikings suddenly figure out how to run the football again or defend, I don't see any chance that they're even going to compete in this game.
Is it at 3 now?
It's 3, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I'm not interested at 3. I would have liked the Titans if it were under 2.5. I think at 3, we're starting to get in that overreaction phase of based on a two-game sample. And granted, it's a pretty bad two games. The Vikings look awful, and I'm starting to think they probably are awful.
Well, but from a matchup perspective, I think the Titans are going to be able to run the ball against them. I think the Vikings are going to struggle to run the ball, and Kirk Cousins is going to have to throw, and we've seen how that's worked the first 2 weeks.
Well, here's what I mean. The Titans have cluster injuries in the secondary, and they haven't really gotten a big pass rush early on, which could give the Vikings a break because their offensive line's just been terrible. It's a stay away from me. I would have probably liked the Titans at 2.5. At 3, I've got no interest.
Washington FC plus 7 at Cleveland.
Ugh, gross.
Well, but this is the kind of team that Cleveland will beat up on. And everybody will say, oh, the Browns are a playoff team. And then they'll play somebody decent and get their ass kicked.
What is the total, 45?
45, yeah.
I like under 45. I think that neither one of these teams have a lot going on offense. I think there's good pass rush on both sides. I think both quarterbacks are under duress. I think here's why I'm not in a hurry to play the Browns. Baker Mayfield's good for a turnover or two every game. He's become that guy now. He's just you just know he's going to turn it over a couple times. Haskins, for all the warts, he's a dink and dunk guy. He doesn't turn the ball over. And there is something to that. I still think the Redskins are awful.
No, they have a decent enough defense, though.
Especially their front.
I think if you're going to lean a direction, I think plus seven. I mean,
if I had to play it, it's plus seven. But I don't want to bet on the Redskins.
Bengals plus 4.5 at the Eagles. I want to say the Eagles get right here. But, boy, it's hard to bet them with confidence.
It is. But, again, we're looking at two games. And this is a clear overreaction to two games. Because let's just say we assume that, let's say home field advantage is 2.5 this year instead of 3. Do you know of anyone who said coming into the season that the Eagles were just 2 points better than the Bengals on a neutral?
Yeah.
No one said that. They're both 0-2. It's not like the Bengals have gone out and been world beaters. So I think there's an overreaction here. I think it was closer to the opening number, 6.5.
Right.
At 4.5, I start to see value on Philly.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I also think at some point Philly isn't as bad as what we've seen. And I still think the Bengals are what we thought they were. And I know LSU fan doesn't want to hear that. But, I mean, it doesn't mean Burrow's not going to have a good year. It's just his team sucks. Bears plus 3.5 at Falcons. I liked it better at 3.
I liked it better at 3, too. I played it at 3. But three and a half is probably too much for me. I do think the Falcons, if it came down to it, if I had to pick a side, I'd be Falcons 3.5 before I'd be Bears plus 3.5.
Yeah, I still don't hate 3.5. It just scares me that the Falcons defense is so awful.
Their defense is atrocious, but I think the Bears are the kind of team that they'll be able to boat race, because the Bears, as bad as that defense is, you can't count on their offense to take advantage of it.
You can't, but I could also see them suddenly come out and run for 250 yards against that defense. And that's what scares me a little. But I loved it at 3. 3.5, I still like it. But, again, it's one of those that I don't feel all that great about. I did punch a ticket on it, but it's kind of like, not quite holding my nose. But
yeah.
I do think, and the other thing I'm a little worried about is psychologically, how long does it take you to recover from something like last week? You had that game won.
Yeah.
So, all right. What do I have here? Oh, great. I could tell you about my man, Dr. Linville. And I had a friend of mine send me an email today saying, hey, man, I'm thinking about getting this done. My hair is falling out. I hate it. Do you think it's worthwhile? I'm like, yeah, I know it's worthwhile because I had it done. And if you go to 975hair.com, you can set up a free consultation. And this is not hair plugs. This is not some weird wig thing. This is where they take the hair off the back of your head and they put it to where it's not. It's your own hair. It's the NeoGraft procedure, and you get it done in a day. And mine's been growing out for a year, and I love it. And the cool thing is, Dr. Linville, he when I sat down and talked to him, I wasn't going to do anything. I was just going to shave my head and go with it. And then he explains the whole procedure to me, and I'm like, you know what? I'm in. And I'm so glad I did it, and you will be too. And he just wants to help people like you, like me, even himself. He's had it done, and his hair looks fantastic. And when you get your virtual consultation, check it out, because you'll say, oh, wow, that can be me. Go to 975hair.com. Get your hair back. Dr. Linville is the man. That's 975hair.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the virtual radio row for the Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, going through the NFL spreads. Keep doing it. Jets plus 11.5 at Indianapolis. Everything in my soul tells me I should be betting the Jets, and I just can't do it.
No, you can't. Here's the play I made on this. Jets team total under 17. They scored 17 one week. They scored, 10 the next. This is a horrible offense. They've got no one on the outside. Their offensive line is banged up. The Colts, we talked about this last week. The Colts, where the Colts can dominate games is in the trenches. Their offensive and defensive lines are going to be better than their opponents most games. The Jets right now beat up on the offensive line. No weapons on the outside. It's basically the Frank Gore show.
Yeah. They sucked with Le'Veon Bell. They're going to suck with Frank Gore.
I don't know where their points come from. So the team total under 17 on the Jets. 11.5 is just too much for me to reasonably play with a team like the Colts, like power ratings wise.
But if you have to pick one, that's where
I had to pick a side, that's the only side I could play.
Even though every rule of handicapping tells you you should take the Jets here, I can't do it. I'm just no way in hell. Panthers plus 6.5 at the Chargers.
I like the under in this game. Again, where does the offense come from for Carolina? The most valuable player, the most valuable to the point spread player, non-quarterback in football is Christian McCaffrey. Nobody touches the ball that's not a quarterback more than Christian McCaffrey. How do they replace him? You really don't. And now you've got Teddy Bridgewater in a new offense. No great weapons on the outside. And then the Chargers, as you know, I'm always on a Chargers under because Anthony Lynn is, I mean, he's a tugboat. He's a running back. He wants the game to be slow and grindy. He's got a rookie quarterback making his second start. This time he's got a week to game plan for it instead of a game time decision. My guess is that game plan means they're going to run the ball a lot more. I don't think you're going to see him lean as heavily on Herbert as he did in game one. I think this is a really sort of ugly, sloppy game. So I like the under. I don't really have a great feel on a side.
I mean, I guess I'd lean Charger, but it also, as much as he's had a week to prepare Herbert, the Panthers have a game tape on him now.
I almost never want to play the Chargers as a favorite.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm just not interested in it.
Lions plus 6 at the Cardinals. I know the Lions.
Boy, this feels super square.
But the Lions have fooled me twice. But boy, it sure feels like I should be on the Lions here. I mean, the Cardinals have looked so great. That feels like the number should be higher, frankly.
Yeah, the Cardinals feels like a really square side, but if I had to be on a side, the Cardinals is the side I would be on. I think that the Lions secondary, until they're healthy, they're going to have problems. And DeAndre Hopkins, that's a problem. Yeah. I kind of think the Cardinals can call it. I'm not sure. The Cardinals, though, I've been talking about where I had these teams rated preseason to where they are now and over adjustments. It would take for me to say the Cardinals are 6.5 point better than the Lions means I would have had to have over adjust on the Cardinals. So it's going to end up being a pass for me. But it does feel like the right side is the Cardinals. It just feels too square to do it.
Buccaneers minus 6 at Broncos.
It's going the way that I hoped it wouldn't go. I was really hoping we were going to see a 7 on Denver. Looks like that's not going to happen. If it does on game day, I'll be on Broncos plus 7. Otherwise, pass.
Yeah, I'm a little scared. I want to bet the Broncos at 6. I'm just a little scared of Driscoll now that, again, you've seen a half of football on him. So,
if I told you it was 6.5 and now it's confirmed that Drew Lock isn't going to play and the number dropped to 6... That tells me that I'm like, something's off. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying
other than Vegas isn't that sold on Drew Lock versus Jeff Driscoll.
Right, but even Vegas, do they think that Jeff Driscoll's better than Drew Lock? I can't imagine that.
No, I guess they. But again, if you're only going on one game, he looked better than Drew Lock did. But it's one game, and they weren't prepared for Jeff Driscoll.
Even with Driscoll, I would have liked the Broncos at 7, at 6. Yeah. No way.
Seahawks minus 5 at home against Cowboys.
Man, this is going to sound crazy. The Cowboys seem like the right side if I had to play a side. I'm not looking to do that, though. I think I'm going to be on the over.
57 is the total.
God, it's such a big number.
It is a big number, but...
One thing we've seen, Seattle is not... They're a big chunk play offense right now. Normally, Seattle's been a grinding, ball control offense. They're scoring in big chunks right now.
Which isn't helping their defense, which is beat up.
Their defense is bad, and they're injured. And now they're going to have... Neither one of these teams have a pass rush. So, and if Tyron Smith's out, I don't know if it really matters, because Seattle doesn't have anybody to rush the passer. I feel like this is a high-scoring game. I feel like it's sort of a track meet. 57's a really high number, so I'm not like running to the window.
Yeah.
But it does feel like the safest play on this game.
I would lean Cowboy plus five, mainly because, you know, it's not going to be the usual home field advantage for Seattle. I think Seattle's better, but if it does get into a shootout like that, I could see it being a field goal game.
Yep.
And so I'm not a play, but I would lean Cowboy plus five.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Cowboys, let's face it. I mean, I know that the win last week feels good, and there's some, I guess, some momentum, you would say. Mm-hmm. But I don't think...
Seahawks aren't blowing a 20-point lead.
They will not. And I don't think that the Cowboys playing two coin flip games, just like they could be 2-0, they could be 0-2.
Right.
And the Seahawks, for whatever you think of them, the Seahawks have looked pretty damn good.
No, they have. I think the Seahawks are the better team, but I also think that's... You know, I think the game's going to be closer.
Five's a lot. If I had to pick a side, it's Dallas.
Packers plus three against the Saints. I'm all over the Packers here.
God, that's the other one that feels super square to me. I don't want to argue with you too much, but the Saints offense right now looks bad. This seems like a good spot for the Saints. Packers riding high.
Yeah.
And they've looked really good so far.
Well, this is your buy low, sell high thing, but I'm not giving up 3 points with the team because I'm not really buying low.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm kind of buying high on the Packers at plus three.
This is the kind of time where I would be looking to fade the Packers, but I just can't do it.
And then Monday night, Chiefs plus 3.5 against Ravens. What a hell of a game. Outside of three, I like the Chiefs a lot here.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll see a three again. If you do, I'd probably like Baltimore. If you don't, I don't know. I don't think I'll be invested in the Chiefs. How about that?
All right. I'll go with the Andy Reid September record for one thing, and the Patrick Mahomes September record. As much as I think the Ravens are the better team right now, I mean, give me 3.5 with the Chiefs. I'm taking it against anybody. All right. So my actual plays. Just to recap, the games that I know I'm going to play. I am for sure taking Titans -3 versus Vikings. I am leaning towards Eagles -4.5 against Bengals. I haven't punched that ticket. I want to see what that number is. The other number I'm keeping an eye on is the Washington FC and the Browns. If I get that outside of 7, I will bet Washington. I'm taking Falcons against the Bears. And my big play is Packers plus 3 against the Saints.
Okay. Yeah, my favorite play is probably Patriots and Bills.
Okay. I like the Patriots. I think that's
I do like that Jets team total under.
Yeah, it's not a bad play. And you know where you can play all of these? My bookie. And guys, all those lines that we just talked about are from my bookie. And you can bet all the NFL. You can bet first half lines. You can bet quarter lines. There's still plays on the MVP. You can bet that. You can bet AFC division odds, all of it. And they all change each week as things change. But if you want to get in and bet any NFL bet, any college bet, you want to play college football, I got you. NBA, right there. MLB, you want to bet on your Astros to win one more game and make it to the playoffs. Guess what? You can do it all on MyBookie. And if you win, they pay. That's what they do. And so many of these sites, it's hard to get your money out. That's not the case with MyBookie. And it doesn't matter what you play. You can play parlays. They've got in-game betting, which has been fantastic for me lately. And now's the time to ditch your bookie and go with mybookie.ag. Easy deposits and withdrawals. Tons of options to get in on the action. And if you join today, MyBookie will match your first deposit 100%. Just enter promo code radio when you sign up. Promo code radio. Mybookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.
Tonight. You can be cool, you can be shy, say what you want, say what you like, cause ooh, your body talks, your body talks, ooh, ooh, your body talks, you can be sad.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
Ah! You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the virtual radio row for the Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Jeez, it's already 5:45. When you kind of take an hour out of the show to get drunk, it sort of makes it go by faster. Aaron, how you feeling after that shot, man?
I feel fine.
Okay. Good job on that.
I don't want to drink another one.
Okay.
Because it tasted horrible, but...
Well, I was sick the whole show after I did it last week.
After the mega shot?
Yeah. It made me feel gross. And it wasn't as bad, though. The tobacco vodka one, I was sick for 2 days after that. I really was. And you guys, I know you guys are trying to kill me. And I mean, there's worse ways to die than alcohol. I'm fine with that. But yeah. Hey, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. Aaron, you've been watching The Boys, right?
Yeah, I'm not caught up yet.
How far are you?
I've only seen the first three.
Okay.
So I've got two more to make up.
So far, I wouldn't say it's as dazzling as the first season. And I think we all hate the fact that they're trotting them out once a week, right? I think we'd all agree on that.
I haven't watched since you told me.
So you haven't watched any of them?
I've watched two episodes. Because okay. what they released? Three?
They released three, yeah.
I watched two, and then I was like, I'm waiting.
I actually don't have a problem with it.
I hate it. I do too. I hate it. I hate it more than
don't all. Set the standard that you're going to release them all at once and then change it up.
Well, and yeah, plus you're Amazon, just like Netflix.
Yeah.
This is what we expect from you.
This is what we're paying for.
Yeah. So anyway, we're not even done with season two of The Boys, and guess what is being pitched to Amazon?
Season four of The Boys.
No, a spinoff.
Oh. Ugh.
About
they're going to kill the boys before.
I know. I mean, first they make this horrible decision, and now this one is about superhero college superheroes. It's being described as an irreverent R-rated series that explores the lives of hormonal competitive soups as they put their physical, sexual, and moral boundaries to the test, competing for the best contracts in the best cities. Part college show, part Hunger Games. With all the heart satire and raunch of The Boys. I was out at Park College Show. I mean, honestly, unless you're doing Animal House, that's the only college show I want to see.
Yeah, I got no interest in
or
this.
Maybe, you know,
well, I
Van Wilder.
Let me finish The Boys and then I'll decide. But I don't
right
like
now,
I'm
the way The
much.
Boys is going, and I'm three ahead of you and two ahead of you, I ain't interested in the spinoff. But the season's not over yet. And I mean, it just sounds stupid. Oh, I did like Hunger Games, but mainly because I thought that chick was really hot. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Somebody says the only reason they're pushing The Boys out week by week is because they've got the stupid after show. I don't watch that. I have no interest in it.
Who watches that?
I mean, the only after show I would have ever watched is if Banshee had done one. That I would have done. Otherwise, I don't care. So, oh boy. 713-780-ESPN. My other gym was about, was a mask-related one.
Mm-hmm.
A 71-year-old beat up a man over him not wearing a mask. Elderly woman was arrested yesterday after allegedly pushing and striking a male neighbor who refused to wear a mask inside an elevator at a Florida condominium. Filing a battery charge against Suzanne Miller, 71. Miller was released from the county jail after being booked on the misdemeanor count. According to the arrest affidavit, Anthony DeRosa, 54, told cops that Miller became upset and started getting loud when he declined to put on a mask. DeRosa was returning to his apartment after retrieving the mail in the lobby, said that Miller told him she didn't feel comfortable riding the elevator with someone who wasn't wearing a mask. Okay, I'm okay with that. But don't you defeat the purpose if you physically put your hands on somebody and beat him up?
I think you do.
I mean, at that point,
not wise.
You know, he hasn't sneezed on you yet, so you're probably okay. But once you start physically assaulting him, apparently he was unable to stop DeRosa from pressing the button for his floor. So she then began yelling, "He's assaulting me." And when he refused to leave the elevator, she tried to push him out of the car and started intentionally striking the victim with a closed fist on his shoulder. I can't believe this woman's going to do much damage, though. 71 years old, 5'2", and she's punching your shoulder. Come on, dude. And by the way, if you're on an elevator and somebody asks you to wear a mask, why? What's so hard about that? I'm going to go with this guy as a total kitty cat.
Quit hitting people.
I mean, if I was on the elevator first and it wasn't a requirement, wait for the next one.
That's what I've done a couple times.
Well, yeah, and I've waited even when when everybody's been wearing a mask. I only take an elevator when there's like me and either one other person or my wife.
Yeah, I've run into this here a couple times where there have been like four people on the elevator, and I'm just like, screw it, I'll take the stairs because it's only four floors. But in this case, I guess in Florida you're not required to wear one, right?
I don't know.
I'm sure we can find that out. I'm pretty sure you're not. So if you're uncomfortable with it, don't get on the elevator, lady. At the same time, would it be so hard to put one on so that the old lady doesn't beat you up?
Yeah.
So
I'd rather put on a mask and get beat up by an old lady.
Yeah, because that's pretty embarrassing.
It's not good.
So anyway, that was your backup, Jim. I'm working on that one too. Flea says Trey's mom was Blitz Comedy Gold. They figure off a way to legally kill off Fred during a future happy hour. You'll get that 1,000 Twitch viewers. So yeah, okay, guys, kill me off for 1,000. Ooh, great.
We need at least 1,500.
I mean, really?
Yeah, 1,000. You're too valuable for that.
So in Florida, it looks like it's city by city and county by
county. Okay.
There's not a statewide mandate.
I just, you know, I mean, I'm not unwilling to die for the show, but for 1,000 freaking Twitch viewers, give me a break, guys. Come on. Yeah, there's going to have to be something else bigger going on. Like somebody's going to have to donate $10 million to the station. Then I'll be happy to die on air for you. Did you see that there's a, I guess Netflix just released this Sherlock Holmes sister thing. Have you seen this?
No.
They're pushing the hell out of it. I got a little excited because it's got
Millie Bobby Brown.
No. Henry Cavill playing Sherlock, but then that's the thing. It's got that Millie Bobby, whatever the hell her name
that's
is.
The girl from
who's such a horrible actress.
I think she's a very good actress.
Oh God, she can't act her way out of a box. So I want to watch it, but that kind of turns me off.
I like Millie Bobby Brown. She's a real talent.
At what?
At acting, Fred.
Okay. I mean, I think all those Stranger Things kids need to be taking acting lessons.
Well, all of them except her.
No, her too. All that money they made from the first two seasons, please go and get acting lessons. And that includes Finn Wolfhard, too.
She's the real talent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Aaron, break the tie on this.
I never watched Stranger Things, so not familiar. I want to watch that and the Enola Holmes thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it. I mean, hopefully she's improved as an actress since season two of Stranger Things. If not, plus they're gonna be doing these Victorian accents and stuff. I think that might be out of her range.
Well, also remember she's playing an alien,
huh?
Like in Stranger Things, she's not a normal person. Like she's, I think some of the what you think of as bad acting is her character.
No, it's not just her though. None of them can act. I mean, the whole thing that made it, except for the older one, David Harbour and
Winona.
I mean, who are actually professional actors. But that's what you're going to get with kids. I'm not trying to rip it too much, but
she's also 3 years older than when season two of Stranger Things came out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Maybe she's improved.
And I don't think it's at, like doing Victorian accents. I don't think is out of her range. She's British.
Okay, well then she'll probably be able to pull it off. Maybe she won't suck. We'll find out. I mean, there's not a child actor that is ever worth a damn except for like Haley Joel Osment in that one movie. I mean, the rest of the time they can't act. So sometimes they get better, although most of them don't, and then wind up doing heroin. I mean, that's kind of the thing. 713-780. HTX Buckeye said she acted her way out of the upside down.
That's true.
I don't know if she
Let's see you do that, Fred.
I ain't going upside down.
What do I have here, Aaron? Allstate. Allstate windows and siding. Guys, you want the best rate, you got to call Allstate. And I'm telling you now, I'm getting my windows done from Allstate. I'm excited about this. I had them come out. They're measuring next week. And they're going to get me hooked up, and I'm pretty excited. I'm going to start saving 40% on my electric bills. That's going to be nice. So windows are going to pay for themselves, boys. And right now, they've got a fall special going, 25% off windows, or buy 10 windows, get 2 windows free, plus $2,000 off complete siding jobs as well. And all their windows are made in Texas, built for Texas tough weather. Rain, wind, hail, it's all covered, so you don't have to worry about hurricanes or any of that. Home and virtual appointments are available for you to take a look at what they got. They're family run for 4 generations. They're the kind of people you want to do business with, guys. Remember, Allstate Windows and Siding for Hurricane Impact Windows. Call them today, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.